Welcome, everybody. This is episode 34 of the CCB Health and Fitness Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Van Praet, your friendly neighborhood kinesiologist. And yes, I did the math correctly this time. It is episode 34. What's in store? Stay tuned. All right, everybody, and welcome to episode 34 of the CCB Health and Fitness Podcast. As I mentioned, I am your host, Ryan Van Praet, your friendly neighborhood kinesiologist, your coach, your mentor, the guy you can go to ask all the health, fitness, sport-related questions, and certainly do my best to find all the answers for you. So I did do the math correctly, and this is actually episode 34. I know over the course of the 33 previous episodes, I've stumbled a couple times in my arithmetic and just making sure that we had the actual correct podcast number associated with what we're doing. But this is 34, so we're back on track. And yeah, it's some pretty exciting stuff going on, really. It's been a little while since the last podcast, but I sort of made it a rule for myself that, you know, I don't want to put out podcasts that are just generally fluff. And I mean, there's some podcasts that, you know, have a bit of fluff here and there, but I always want you to walk away with some sort of nugget of information, something that you can put in your memory bank and say, hey, you know what, I've got that piece of knowledge that I can move forward with. So that's kind of why we've been stumbling a little bit, is really trying to find what's of value to you. And actually, I shouldn't say stumbling, because there's a lot of thought process that goes behind it, and we've got a lot of plans moving forward. But what I wanted to talk about today is a few things. So one, I want to talk about where I've been. So that's our AGM, the 150 challenge, what's coming up here in July, or what's happening right now, actually. Heat and exercise, some notes that you might want to know about, and then, you know, the podcast moving forward. So hopefully I can remember all of those things as we move forward. So to start off, where have I been the last little bit? Well, it is July 5th today. Yeah, because yesterday was the American 4th of July holiday weekend, or holiday day, because it was a Wednesday. So we are July 5th, and last week I was actually up in Ottawa at our head office for our annual general meeting, and we had a great time chatting with fellow employees from head office and just getting to know, you know, anything new that's going on in head office, and really keeping them informed about, you know, what I've been up to and sort of the direction we're looking to go with the CCB Health and Fitness program. So it's been really productive and been a really good time. So rest assured, there's been work going on behind the scenes to provide you with the best resources out there. And that's really essentially what the CCB is about, is helping you as a council. We are the council. We are the blind helping the blind. And who better to help ourselves than ourselves, right? So we've got a great network of blind, visually impaired individuals who are out there to provide you with the resources needed to live that awesome life full of balance and well-being. So that's where we were last week, AGM up in Ottawa, and now we're back here at our hometown here in Chatham and getting things rocking and rolling. So what's going on now? It's the 150 challenge. So being July 5th, we're 5 days into the challenge, and what I want you guys to do this month is I want you to make sure that you're covering your basis in terms of the basic amount of exercise. And we've talked about the FIT program. We've talked about, you know, frequency, intensity, type, and time, and, you know, how that all plays out in terms of building an exercise program. But, you know, ultimately, you can hit all of those variables, but if you're not covering the very basics, if you're not getting just the basic amount of physical activity per week, you know, we're kind of behind the eight ball. So the 150 challenge is essentially each week in July, what I want you to do is keep track of how many minutes you go and do purposeful exercise. I don't really want you to keep track of just your general wandering around the house. You know, I want you to think about what can you do that is above and beyond your everyday activities. Putting an asterisk beside that, let's say you walk a mile and a half or something to work or to, you know, the gym or something, that can certainly be counted. You know, if that's an everyday activity, that certainly can be counted because that's a purposeful walk, right? You're not just kind of wandering around the house aimlessly. You know, that's a purposeful piece of activity. So in July, each week, I want you to keep track of how many minutes you are exercising purposefully. And each week you want that to add up to about 150 minutes. So that's roughly 30 minutes five times a week, 20 minutes, you know, six times a week plus a little bit. You know, you could do a whole bunch at once. You could do a little bit spread out. It all counts as long as you're adding it up. So add up that 150 and share it with us. So share the comments here on our podcast channel. Email me, you know the email. Check in on our Facebook. Just engage with us and let us know how you're doing. And what I'm going to do in terms of a prize, and I kind of use air quotes in terms of a prize, because some may not see it as a prize, but what I want to do is I want to get the people that engage the most and share their story, either through video or photo or just an email saying, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm keeping track of my 150 challenge, and this is how I'm getting my activity in. I want to take at least two people and interview them on this podcast. And that's kind of goes to the final point we'll talk about right at the end about how we're going to do some of this stuff moving forward with the podcast. But yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to encourage you to get out and do your 150 challenge, and I want you to engage with us. And that's really, really key. So if you're listening here and this is your main source of finding information on health and fitness, that's fantastic. Email me, leave a comment on these podcasts, whichever way you prefer, but let us know how you are doing, because I want to know, right? You know, I'm going to keep track of what I'm doing because I do anyways. I always have. I find that's a source of motivation for myself, but I'm also going to keep track of Oak and make sure that he gets his 150 minutes of exercise, which is actually trickier than it sounds right about now, because here in Southwestern Ontario, as with most of North America, it seems, we are just cooking, right? It's 8:30 in the morning currently, and I was just outside doing the garbage, and it was 27 degrees, and the Humidex apparently felt like 38 degrees. I mean, the poor dog just sits on the front porch in the shade and just melts. So getting his regular amount of activity is actually going to be tricky for him. So we're going to keep track of that, and we'll keep you posted. But that's the challenge. It's just to make sure, are you covering your bases, right? Are you getting that very basic amount of activity that's going to provide you with, you know, the general health benefits that you need? Certainly, you can step up your game by engaging in the FIT principle, frequency, intensity, type, and time, and really nailing down that routine. But what we want to do is just make sure that throughout the summer season, you're still moving, right? You're still getting out there. You're still being active on purpose. Summer is a tough time. You know, most people think that, well, winter's tough because it's cold. Summer can be equally as tough because it's so hot, you just don't feel like doing anything. You know, you're already sweating and you're not even moving, and the heat can just drain you a little bit. So, you know, we do understand that that's a bit of a challenge, but we want you to challenge yourself and get out there and do that activity. So yeah, get out there, let us know how it goes. Email us, engage with us, and I'm going to interview two people on this podcast sometime in the near future just to see how you accomplish your 150 minutes per week. So that being said, talking about the heat, we're going to move on to kind of the meat of today's podcast. And if you follow me on Facebook, well, not me, if you follow the CCB Health and Fitness program on Facebook, on our page, you'll notice a video that I did 2 days ago. So beginning of July, July 3rd, I think it was, really talking about heat and exercising in heat and some things you might want to consider. So I won't go incredibly into detail because I think that was like a 15-minute video, but I'm going to touch base on a couple of the items that I touched base on just for your information. And there might be some things that have happened to you while exercising in the past that this might make sense now. So one thing is hydration. Everybody knows that we need to hydrate, and that's obvious, right? If you're sweating, you want to replace some water. You know, we all understand that. So another thing that you want to consider is how you replace that fluid. So we can do just plain water, and for the most part, that's going to be perfectly fine for people. You know, we want to keep the fluid levels in our system high. That helps keep our blood pressure appropriately, at an appropriate level. It keeps our blood viscosity at an appropriate level. It helps the system function properly. You know, if you're really low on fluid and you're really dehydrated, then your blood becomes more viscous. Your heart has to work harder to pump it around. It just is a more stressful situation, right? And we don't want to have that heart work any harder than it has to most of the time, to pump around, you know, thick, sludgy blood. So you know, fluid is the lifeline, right? We want to keep that topped up and make sure you're well hydrated. So, you know, you could really, you know, I guess in the everyday world, they'll tell you to, you know, actually look at your urine and say, well, is your urine fairly clear? Then you're hydrated. If it's kind of dark colored, then you're dehydrated. Maybe something we can't do as much in the blind visually impaired community. And, you know, I don't think my spouse would want to do that for me. So that's, yeah, that's a whole other discussion. So what we want to do is just make sure that we're topping it up anyways, right? Just better be safe than sorry. You know, you don't need to be sloshing around, but, you know, if you're drinking water, sipping on water most hours of the day, and, you know, you have to urinate and go to the bathroom a few times in the day, that's perfectly fine. So that's hydration. We obviously know that. A couple things to think about, though, is when you're exercising, you tend to want to do more than just hydrate with water, especially in the heat, because that goes into something called hyponatremia, which is basically you hydrate so much with fluid, but you don't replace the electrolytes that you've lost. So when you sweat, you know, you're salty, right? Those electrolytes, the things that send and conduct electrical currents from your brain to your muscles and your cells and make them work. So if you sweat a ton and you sweat out a lot of salt like I do, and you just replace it with water, you might tend to feel kind of sloshy, kind of woozy, kind of lightheaded. That can be a sign that, you know, you need to replace with a little bit more than just water. And so that's, you know, one of those things, Gatorade comes into play. And if you're just sitting around on your porch and just, you know, trying to beat the heat, Gatorade, not necessarily something you need. There's a lot of extra calories in there because it's designed to be used while you're exercising and help provide the fuel for you while you exercise. And it also provides the electrolytes. So, you know, the electrolyte concentration in Gatorade or a sports drink is valuable on a super hot day, especially if you're exercising and sweating a lot, but the calorie content, not always necessary. So you really want to be careful with that. You know, don't just chug down bottles and bottles of Gatorade. You might want to have a bit of Gatorade or a sports drink nearby just to sip on or to drink, you know, maybe a bottle over the course of a day, just to keep things topped up in terms of electrolytes you know, your electrical balance, so to speak, within the body. So that's another thing to consider is again, if you sweat really heavily and you sweat with a lot of salt, a sports drink then may be pretty valuable for you. So that's one thing to consider in hydration is yes, replace with your fluid. Yes, replace with your electrolytes, and be careful of those extra calories in all the sports drinks. You don't generally need them unless you're exercising for a really long time. Another thing to think about when exercising in the heat is if you've ever sort of gone for a brisk walk on a hot day and you get to a stop sign or a stop light and you have to just stand there and you stop dead cold in your tracks, have you ever felt kind of woozy, right? Have you ever felt kind of like lightheaded? There's a reason for that. So trying to not get too overcomplicated with it, if you think about your body having, you know, only a certain amount of blood inside, that blood is shunted and moved around to where it's needed the most. And, you know, there's only a certain amount and it can only do so much at once. So right now, sitting down, it's all balanced out. All your organs are getting the blood they need. The brain is getting the blood it needs. The heart's getting the blood it needs. The muscles, you know, they're not getting as much because they're not really working, but everything is balanced out. Well, when you start working really hard, in heat especially, you know, your muscles require oxygen. And to get oxygen to your muscles, blood goes there because that's what carries the oxygen to your muscles. So, okay, we're walking briskly on a hot day. Well, now we've got a lot of extra blood going to the working muscles, particularly the big leg muscles in the thighs. And those leg muscles actually help with a mechanical action, just the nature of them contracting and relaxing. They actually help push the blood back to the heart, right? Because if your legs are saturated with blood, that blood has to obviously get back to your heart to get the oxygen from the lungs to basically, you know, bring that cycle all over again. So if you stop immediately, right, all that saturated leg muscle has stopped its mechanical action and all that blood is pooled in your legs, how is it going to get back up to your heart, which then has to go quickly to your brain, right? So that's one thing to consider. The other thing to consider is where the blood priority is on a hot day is to your skin, right? To cool you through sweat and loss of heat and water. So what happens is a lot of the blood that goes to your legs, there's a lot that goes to the surface of your skin. The blood vessels dilate, they become bigger to expose the surface of the blood vessel to your skin to have the ambient air, to have the air outside your body try to cool that blood as much as possible. And I mean, we're talking about fractions of degrees here or there, but in your body, that's, you know, that's all it really takes. So if we've got a saturation in our legs, if we've got a good amount of blood at the surface of our skin trying to cool us, again, if you stop suddenly at a stoplight or you know, a crosswalk after having worked really briskly, there's a lot of blood that's not getting back to your heart and to your head. So hopefully that kind of makes sense, right? As you sort of slow down, or as you, you know, slow down your workout, or you return to kind of a normal pace of life, the blood redistributes itself, right? The muscles don't need as much, the skin doesn't require as much cooling, and everything gets redistributed. But something you want to be mindful of if you've ever kind of got lightheaded anytime you stopped during a workout. So how do you fix that? Well, you know, I'm not going to say don't work out briskly, but the key there is if you are coming up to a stoplight and you know this, or a crosswalk, maybe slow your pace a tiny bit. Don't stop just dead cold. It might look a little goofy, but you know, maybe bounce up and down a bit, maybe stride back and forth. Try to keep the legs actually moving, keep those legs pumping, because they're going to help pump the blood back up to your heart. Okay. So hopefully that makes a bit of sense. And that might explain if you've ever been lightheaded. One other real quick thing is for the runners out there, the people that have done sort of longer running races or races in the heat. If you've ever finished a race and you're super duper hot, but then like 20 minutes later, you start to shiver and you're thinking, man, what's going on, right? Like it's 90 degrees out. There's a reason for that as well. So the big thing I'm going to say is if you've ever done a running race or a walking event or something where at the end they give you one of those foil blankets, take it. You don't feel like you need it right now, but take it and just put it around your shoulders. It will be highly valuable. So essentially what happens again is because of that blood being redistributed, your body is trying to cool itself, right? It's trying to basically get rid of that excess heat that's generated by your muscles. It's trying to get rid of it. And what happens is all that blood is at that surface, right? And so your core temperature while you're exercising is perfectly fine. You're nice and hot and everything is cruising along nicely. But when you stop exercising, you know, it takes a while for things to redistribute. So there's still a lot of blood up the surface of your skin. And what happens actually is your core is like, wait a minute, we're not exercising anymore. I'm starting to get a little chilly. And again, it's fractions of like degrees here, but that actually is what's happening, is your core temperature is actually dropping too quickly because there's not enough, you know, blood circulating around and the redistribution of that blood to keep your core warm. And that's why you start to shiver. Shivering is your body's way of saying, oh my gosh, I need to warm up, right? It's basically vibrating itself to warm you up. So even if you've ever got the shivers, after exercising for, you know, a long time in the heat, that's a reason, right? So what you want to do is you want to, you know, take that foil blanket if they give it to you. If you're exercising at home, what you want to do is you want to quickly, you know, you want to shower and then get in warm, dry clothes. You know, the sweat on the skin as well kind of messes with body's ability to cool itself. You know, if your skin is kind of clogged up with sweat and gunk, your body's ability to kind of find its balance again and you know, heat exchange and stuff is kind of messed up. And again, that's a layman's sort of explanation. And I mean, there's people that study this and can write far more scientific explanations of it and stuff that I wouldn't even understand. But essentially, this is what's happening. And this is gives you a reason to understand what's going on with your body. And to know that it's normal, but and how to prepare for it and how to, you know, counteract it as well. So that's really the keys in what's going on with your body in the heat. It's really just a blood distribution and your body's trying to find a balance so it doesn't cook itself. But it's things to be mindful of. And other things you want to do when you're exercising in the heat, obviously go out in the morning or in the evening when it's cooler. That's going to be your better bet. Stay in the shade, you know, always carry your water with you. On humid days, realize that your body is not going to cool itself as quickly because the humidity in the air is already saturated. So the humidity, the sweat from your skin isn't going to evaporate into that air as quickly, right? The exchange from your skin to the air isn't going to be as quickly. So you're going to feel stuffier. Your sweat is not going to evaporate. So you're going to overheat quicker. So something to be really mindful of. And again, it doesn't mean don't go out and exercise. It means maybe adjust your pace a little bit and just be mindful of these things, okay? And in the humidity, I always find being able to rinse the sweat off any chance you get really helps with that evaporation, right? It really drives that sweat and all those electrolytes off your skin and kind of gives it a clean surface for the air to hopefully cool. So hopefully that is... hopefully it's of some interest to you, even if it's just a random fact, but hopefully you've learned a little bit in regards to heat. If you have any questions regarding that, let me know. Again, it's very tricky because it's all very individual in how your body reacts to heat. I'm a fairly slender guy and I do terribly in the heat. My body, it goes from like zero to a million in an instant. I overheat very, very quickly in hot weather. Where somebody who, you know, maybe is larger and carries more mass, you would think in general does better in the heat. And I in theory should do really well in the heat, but it just doesn't work that way because it's just a very individual reaction to how you handle heat. So for me, my heart rate just goes up really quickly and it's just, I get really hot. And it's just a bad scene, but that's something I know and something I work with and it's just something you deal with. So that is your heat, lesson for the day. So if you have any questions, certainly let me know. Happy to help and happy to, you know, give you some tips and advice if I can. So one last thing, you know, what's the next direction with the CCB Health and Fitness program? Well, obviously we're going to keep doing what we're doing. We're going to do these podcasts. We're going to do the little videos on Facebook. We're going to do the coaching calls. But a couple things we're really looking to do is one, I want to do more interviews on this podcast. So if you have a story, let me know. I want to share your story. I'm going to find a way and I've actually sort of found a way to do, better interviews. It's a technology thing and I'm not a high tech guy, but trying to get the interview from you onto this podcast was actually trickier than I anticipated. So that's why we haven't done a lot of them, but, I've actually found recently a new piece of software that should actually work pretty well. And so I'm hoping to get a lot more interviews on here. So you don't have to listen to me chat a ton. But the other thing we want to do, so that's one thing, share your story. If you want to be interviewed, share your story, who you are, what you're doing for your health and fitness activities, anything you think you can share with your fellow blind, visually impaired persons out there would be awesome. And the other thing we want to do, and I really love your feedback on this as well, is with that other piece of software, I'd love to do general sort of roundtable discussions in conference calling so we could pick a time, you know, once a month or once every other week from coast to coast to coast. And we could all dial in either through the phone and or through an internet line and have sort of a video conference roundtable of just discussion, health and fitness questions, just fire from the hip and say, hey, you know, this is what's bothering me. This is my question. How do we solve this? And I can provide information, but your fellow listeners out there can also help you, you know, with their perspective because it's a collaborative, right? I have more of the scientific-y background, but it certainly doesn't mean I have all the answers. So we'd love to do, you know, some coast-to-coast-to-coast roundtable conference calling. We'd love to hear your opinion on that and hoping to start that maybe in August and just give it a go. Because it's all about engagement. That's really what this program is about. It's about us getting you involved and everybody learning from each other. So certainly drop me an email, ccb.healthandfitness@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook. We have our groups chat list. So that's ccb health and fitness at groups.io. If you haven't subscribed to that, you can subscribe to that and just let me know and I can send you the link to subscribe to that. And I think that's about what we've got for today. So yeah, it's hot out there, but it's perfectly fine. Get out there, enjoy it, get involved in the 150 challenge. I want to interview you. I want to interview you to help enlighten others, to share your story. So you just don't have to listen to me talk endlessly. So have an awesome day, everybody. This is episode 34. If you have any ideas for future episodes, I'm always open to those as well. Like I said, we're here to provide you with useful content. So if you have a question and you want a topic discussed, let's have it. Have an awesome day, everybody. Till next time.